Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Gene Nolan, and we're going to have a change of pace. As we look and see what's happening and we learn about genetically modified foods which are harmful to your health, as we begin to understand that they are doing things to our food that really are totally unsafe, to fumigating our wheat and perhaps our rice with fluoride, which leaves a toxic, deadly toxic dose of fluoride in the products that we eat and certainly in the residual in the bread of what we have, and understand that we really are under attack from all points of view. And as far as our diet is concerned, the things that we drink, the things that are added to foods like certainly the aspartame and the MSG in food, the bisphenols, which is the plastic that lines the cans that, of course, feminizes our men, and the phthalates, which, of course, in plastics, which has a very similar action, and certainly the chemicals that they add to our food, and so many of the things that are going on today. The drugs that were given, certainly so many of these drugs are really harmful. They know that. The chemicals, the pesticides, the insecticides, the metals we come in contact with, the chemtrails, with the aluminum, barium precipitating out, getting into the soil and getting then into the plants we eat, the foods and vegetables, we're increasingly going to have to think about how we're going to learn to do something that our forefathers did, and that was to grow our own food. And well, with us this evening is a gentleman who's really works in this field. He understands soil and growing things, and so I thought I'd ask him to come on and share his wisdom, his knowledge with us. Good evening, Gene. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, what you do, and, of course, what you would know that they really should know.
Okay. It started many years ago, Dr. Stan, when I was doing some construction work up in Washington State, and noticed in all the fields that were surrounding this small town that there were a lot of seed crops grown, like carrot seed and you know, other vegetable seeds. And I noticed that the crop dusters were flying over these fields spraying on or dusting on insecticides. Then I would subsequently notice the swallows flopping around in the air and coming down, landing on the pavements and dying there. And I thought, why in the world are these kind of chemicals, which are obviously agents of death, being sprayed on our food chain? And that sent me on a pursuit of, and I was having a lot of health problems, and my question was, why can't I get the nutrients from the food that I eat versus having to buy bottles of various supplements? So that sent me on a pursuit, many year pursuit, of trying to understand what was going on in agriculture and why was I having to buy the supplements that I needed to maintain some degree of health, and connecting that with the uses of agents of death, or another term that I use is toxic symptomatic suppression. And in my opinion, this is used not only in agriculture, but also in medicine. When you understand that, and from an agricultural perspective, the sprays used are used to kill something. Okay, that, whether it's botrytis or alternaria or our malaria or aphid, that's a symptom of ill health. So why are we spending all this money? In many instances, the farmer is spending more money on toxic symptomatic suppression, which these...
Hold that thought. We'll be back there in just a moment with Gene.
Sure.
All right, Gene, go right ahead.
Yeah. So then That sent me on the pursuit of understanding what was going on in agriculture and why was there so much use of the, what I call, toxic symptomatic suppression. The aphid, the botrytis, the alternaria, the armillaria are all symptoms. They're not the problem. They're telling us that there is a problem. So my quest was, what is the problem? Why are we having these symptoms manifest, and why is the farmer spending so much money in this toxic crop defense scenario? So that then I pursued studying soils, and I linked up with a man who was really into biological kind of farming, not in the sense of today's GMO, which in my opinion is a travesty that, you know, we won't live long enough to live that down. But anyway, he was trying to do it in a really, really righteous kind of a way. That man helped me. We worked together jointly, and between the two of us, we came up with some very, very valuable information in that pertained to farming and better farming practices. And my focus was to increase nutrient density, because what I got from having to buy so many supplements was that the food chain was extremely deficient, which correlated with my observations of why the farmer was having to spray all these toxins or agents of death on the crops that we then eat. When you think about it, it all comes together. And then subsequently, I really came to have a great relationship with the Lord and looked a lot closer at agriculture, thinking that human beings are eating some part of creation 2 to 3 times a day. So are we not working with the Creator through creation in a way that we should, in order to maximize nutrient density within our food that would then alleviate the nutrient deficiencies that we experience in our bodies as the farmer experiences on his crops in the field, all because of the such a plethora of soil mismanagement practices promoted by universities paid for by petrochemical. That's really important for me to make a statement here, is that these multinationals have a very creative way of putting a person in a non-effective mode, whether it's killing them or making them non-effective. So,
hold that thought, Gene. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty.
Yeah.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Gene is just talking about how he is so concerned about all the things that they're spraying on the foods. And many times this will actually, if you get these pesticides and insecticides in you, these really can upset your metabolism. And they're certainly very unhealthy. And the trouble is that a lot of our food we're getting today does not have the dense nutrients in it that they should have. And certainly the Amish, the Mennonite people, have always respected the soil. Their whole idea was that God gave them the soil to grow things in, and you should know how to utilize soil, how to use dirt properly, and of course you wanted to do that so that you could be able to grow things that would be healthy for you. And the Mennonites and the Amish certainly have never gone to this mass farming that we have today. Today it's very profitable, though. You can have mass farming and you can do all the spraying and things, but is this good for you? And then the other thing is, what about the soil? How can you get the maximum nutrition from the crops grown in our soil without using all the artificial fertilizer? And of course, the point that Gene makes is that the large petrochemical companies and the major corporations and certainly the major pharmaceutical companies, I should say agricultural companies, Arthur Daniels, Midland, Monsanto, although he hasn't mentioned those, they are involved in this whole conspiracy to dumb down our food and to make it ever less nutritious. But you go right ahead with the story there.
You're absolutely right, Dr. Stan. It's so obvious. I'm acting as my business is a crop consultant. I've been doing this for 20 years. So my focus is to understand what the Creator had designed originally for us and how best to work with His intent and His created order. And when I've been able to do that, which happens when I get some cooperation from the farmer, the crop response difference is incredible. People are just amazed at what can happen.
Well, now, are you using compost? Are you using some stimulants of some sort? Oh, how are you handling the soil so that you can get a better result and so that the aphids and all these other little critters don't come in and suddenly attack the farm products?
Basically, Doctor, I look at how to best work with the creation that God gave us that's in the soil. The millions or billions of microorganisms that were put there for our benefit. This is my opinion, okay? That God put those there for our benefit because of the role they play in the nutrient availability, nutrient delivery, antibiotic production within the soil that not only provides the nutrients in the form that the plant needs it, because many of those microorganisms are what they call coenzyme producers. In one environment, they will produce this kind of an enzyme. In another environment, they produce this kind of an enzyme. Okay, basically, their role is to make available to the rhizosphere, rhizoplane area of the root system the nutrients that reproduction is asking for. And that's the key. How to meet reproductive demands. When we do that, and we're going to do that through basically microbial management, we know that microbes need active carbon for a food. They also need balanced chemistry as the plant does, as we do. And I'm thinking, this is logical. The Creator created this for our benefit. So why don't we understand it and work with it? So when we have to do some soil amending, I tell the grower I want the amendments to be in a life-friendly format. I don't want toxic amendments there. Okay, I want amendments that, in fact, will work with or enhance the life activities within the soil and at the same time meet the reproductive demands of every crop grown. So when we can do that, Dr. Stan, the results are phenomenal.
Well, now, because we hear that, you know, the soil is depleted, the minerals are gone out, we have to add the minerals. Is that true? Or should we do in the way of fertilizer?
Go ahead. My opinion, that's not a true statement. I know that Dr. Wallach has made a real clear statement about that, and I take issue with him there because I've done many ICAP scans, which is an evaluation of the minerals and metals in the soil, inherent in the soil. Okay, they're still there in the balance that was given us after the flood. Okay, what is not there, and this is because of man's ignorance or buying into academia's propaganda that they parrot from the petrochemical, you know, propaganda, basically, that what isn't there is the life that God intended to be there to do the nutrient availability role and nutrient delivery, but they also do a role that Dr. Kervan called where, if, for instance, there is a high potassium level and a low calcium level, the microorganisms can actually fill that void through their activities in the soil. They can substitute one for the other. That's what Dr. Kervan's theory, but he proved that it was a true story. So transmutation of elements is what he called it. So there's some phenomenal roles that microorganisms, which are part of God's creation, can do in the soil for us, but in my opinion, it's a lot better for us to understand what the inherent deficiencies are in a given soil, understanding the nutrient needs of a given crop, and then do the amending in appropriate forms so that if we have a potassium deficiency and we know that a crop is a high potassium user once they're expressing their reproductive activities, then we're going to bring in a potassium form in the right balance with all other elements, because there's a relationship between all elements in the soil. And we're going to bring in forms that, in fact, enhance life activity and not damage life activity.
All right, now how do we know what needs to be done?
I use a lab that, after 20 years, I've figured out this man comes closer to maximizing nutrient density within the crop than any other lab's recommendation that I've ever worked with. So I use that lab as my soil man, and I use another lab where I send my tissue samples to, and they give me a tissue analysis, a leaf analysis.
All right. You want to mention who this soil expert is?
Yeah, Neil Kinsey.
All right, Neil Kinsey. And how would people get hold of him if they're interested?
Sure. They can call me or they can call Neil Kinsey. He has Kinsey's Ag Services in Missouri. And then I use Albion Labs in Utah for my tissue analysis lab.
All right. Basically, now, he will tell you what nutrients need to be added, or what does he actually tell you about the soil?
Neil will tell you what your soil needs. He will show you the deficiencies that you have, the imbalances that you have, and then he will make recommendations. And if you send them through me, I can save you $15 a sample. If you send them to Neil yourself, it's going to cost you $50. If you send them through me, it'll cost you $35. But Neil and I have worked together for enough years, and he knows my focus is soil biology.
All right. Well, basically now, what sort of things are you going to find? You're going to find that there's certain minerals that are short.
Yes.
Is it the bacteria that are short? And I said, what about the use of a manure of some sort?
That's very important, because manures that have come from animals or chickens that have not had antibiotic injections or antibiotics in their feed are a good microbial food. So, as well as nutrition within that manure and or composts like old hay, old straw, these kind of things, that is full of active carbon. Active carbon is the number one food source for the beneficial microorganisms that are in the soil.
What about leaves, things of that sort?
Leaves are good, too.
Okay.
Keep in mind that we don't want to use leaves that have been sprayed with an insecticide or fungicide.
All right, fine, because that would get into the soil and kill the bacteria, is that it?
Yeah, it would kill the bacteria, sure. So anything that upsets the microbial activity and natural balance of beneficial microorganisms is going to interfere with nutrient availability and nutrient delivery.
Well, now, how would people go about composting? People who really don't know much about farming and much about growing things, how do you go about composting?
Well, you want to keep the compost, like if you're going to have a good percentage of green in the spring of the year, you got grass clippings, that kind of thing. You don't want to use grass clippings where weed and feed has been applied, because there you go with an herbicide that is going to interfere with life, okay? So you want to use grass clippings and other, you know, green clippings, shrubbery and that type of thing. It'd be ideal if you could incorporate that with some dead leaves so that you don't create such an intense, rapid heat rise that is going to change the microbial presence from the typical ones that we want in our garden soil to a more thermophilic, which is the ones that can survive in high heat temperatures. So we don't want to do that. So we're going to want to keep the green turned frequently, very, very frequently. Put your hand in the middle of the pile. If it's getting really hot, turn it, okay? And keep the outside of the pile, then create a new pile where you take the outside of the existing pile, make that the center of the next pile, so that you're processing the outside of the existing pile in your new pile, and you're getting the inside of your existing pile exposed to more oxygen. That's the key, is keeping oxygen supplied to the microorganisms that are going to break that down and make it into beautiful compost. If it gets too hot, you're going to interfere with microbial presence and population percentages, or it can, like in the early spring and winter, it can go anaerobic. That means without oxygen.
Well, now, what about, are you putting some sort of a plastic over the top of the pile, a pile of leaves, or what do you do?
I wouldn't use plastic unless you keep the edges, like maybe weight down four corners of it, because you have to have oxygen or atmosphere moving through that pile, otherwise you're going to end up in an anaerobic environment.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back.
You bet.
Well, Gene, what about these composters, you know, these big...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount gold and silver trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Will have various products in them, fungicides and things of that sort, which will alter the bacteria in the soil. And the bacteria is seminal to getting a good crop. Then, of course, you do need certain things. He was talking about planting tomatoes, and they certainly need calcium and certain other other minerals, and talking about this, rather than taking the things that you get in the package and putting them in around the roots, he suggests putting them on later after the tomato plant is already beginning to grow. Is that what you're suggesting, Nolan?
Gene? Yes. And watching the leaves of the plant will tell you the story. If you see leaves on the bottom of the plant starting to turn yellow as soon as the reproductive processes are initiated, then you know that you're probably going to have a potassium deficiency. So you have to understand, and on tomatoes in particular, if you see a purplish hue or cast on their stems and on the underside of their leaves in particular, you know you have a phosphorus deficiency. So it's really important to understand what the plant is telling you, because it'll tell you a lot more than what people realize. So it's very, very wise to understand what the plant is saying to you.
Well, now, partially, when the farmer is growing things, how does he prepare his soil? Does he compost? Is this certainly soil that's been used for a long period of time, and they've taken the plants and plowed them underneath, and they've actually then degenerated and become part of the soil mass? Does he add things to his soil to make it more productive?
Generally speaking, Dr. Stan, that's what's done. They will always add too much nitrogen, okay? So they create this real leggy, green, lush-looking crop, but then they've got in their armory, they have the thing that the chemical companies told them to have. You got to have a fungicide and insecticide. So they overload the soil with nitrogen fertilizer, which in my opinion is the number one cause of plant disease and insect pressure. So then, but the farmer's got all these different wonderful insecticides and fungicides, or agents of death, that he can spray on because he used too much nitrogen fertilizer and didn't understand the reproductive needs of the crop that he had.
Well, then what should he be using for fertilizer if he doesn't use these standard nitrogens?
He should understand what his soil has presently, not what 3 years ago soil analysis says, but what does it have today? What are its imbalances today, and amend according to good, sound recommendations in a life-friendly format. And that's why I use Neil Kinsey, because he works all over the world, and he's real, real into organic food production. He works a lot in Europe, Africa, South Central America, Australia, and here in the U.S. And he has always produced the highest nutrient density in my crops. And I take it beyond that, because Neil said, I'm the soil chemistry guy, Gene. You're the soil biology guy. And I said, you know what? Let's put it all together, because that's what God gave us, okay? Let's understand the balance and work with what God gave us and do it in a life-friendly format. So,
and so basically you're talking about the two things that the soil needs. One are the proper chemicals. The other is the proper bacteria. Would that
exactly.
be a fair analysis?
Exactly, yes. And so Neil's soil analysis gives me the best recommendation on that will increase the nutrient density of my crop, of my grower's crops. So I look at it that way. Then I also understand what the soil needs are to maximize microbial presence. You can't emphasize that enough. The microbial presence is extremely important.
All right, fine. Well, then how do we find out about microbial presence? So just as a weekend farmer trying to learn something about this, how do we learn about the bacteria in the soil? How do we learn if we have the right bacteria? How do we learn to add bacteria to the soil?
Well, those kind of formulations, that's one of them that I've sold for many years as a live microbe root dip, as a live microbe foliar feed, or as a soil inoculation. But if the soil hasn't been mismanaged, where there's been a lot of insecticide and fungicide used, and a good level of organic matter has been applied through possibly green manure cropping, where the farmer plants a crop and then plows it under, he probably will have a good microbial presence. But if he's used fungicide, insecticide, then he's going to have to make some changes, and then that's a point where inoculation might be a good option.
Well, then, but what do you do is to prevent aphids and other things from attacking your plants?
Well, it takes time, Dr. Stan, to get the soil chemistry to the point where it's meeting reproductive demands. Like, for instance, calcium and magnesium will take 3 years before your crops will experience the maximum benefit of an application of either of those, okay? So foliar feeding is an excellent way of doing what I call a Band-Aid approach.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Gene Nolan. And Gene, oh, you're basically saying that the plants need calcium and they need potassium and they need magnesium. What other minerals do they need?
They need sulfur, manganese, phosphorus, zinc, boron, sulfur. There's a lot of different elements that they need, Dr. Stan.
How about selenium? Is selenium an important part of
it? Yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, now, basically, you mentioned, though, that you disagreed with Dr. Wallach. This is about the sort of thing that he's been talking about.
Is that what I remember of his talk was that the elements have been lost in the soil. Every area of the country has its own inherent nutrient balance slash imbalance. Like here in the Northwest, it's known that there is a selenium deficiency in the soil. And that produces white muscle disease in cattle and elk and deer. I know in elk. So, like I found this one plant that was a high selenium accumulator. So I gathered a bunch of the seed, gave it to the, Department of Lands or somebody that was doing some elk management, herd management, where they were having white muscle disease. They planted these plants out. They planted the seeds so they would produce the plants that were high selenium accumulators, and they found that it greatly decreased the white muscle disease in the animals. But Dr. Wallach's contention that the elements have been lost in the soil, I disagree with that. I say that the available form of those elements has been taken out because of man's soil mismanagement practices, in that they have destroyed the microbial presence because of the overuse of nitrogen fertilizer. The overuse of nitrogen fertilizer does two really, really negative things, okay? It produces a plant, a lush green plant, that doesn't have all of the nutrients in it that reproduction is asking for, okay? Like manganese, for instance, is a real key element in the reproductive processes in a plant. So is boron, okay? So you increase nitrogen without increasing all these other elements in the right balance. Now you're creating a great environment for disease and sickness. But what's been taken out of the soil are the available forms of all the nutrients that are inherent there, all because we have denied the microorganisms the food that they need through two different methods. We haven't supplied the organic matter that the microbes need, and the overuse of nitrogen fertilizer, and I've been told by...
Hold that thought.
Yeah.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Gene Nolan. He's simply trying to teach me a little bit about growing plants, and I think it's an important thing that we all need to know about. Now, before we go on, Gene, would you like to put out your website and tell people how to get in touch with you?
Sure. I have a website that's called livingsoils.com. The email on there is so plugged with spam, I don't use it, so I have another email that seems to be a lot more friendly, and that's called soilsalive.nolan@gmail.com. My cell phone is 509-999-2335.
Give that number twice. You always give your number twice.
Okay. soilsalive.nolan@gmail.com, and my cell phone is 509-999-2335.
Now, it is Gene's contention that, first of all, they use too much nitrogen fertilizer. Is some nitrogen fertilizer good? Is it important to have some nitrogen fertilizer?
It all depends on what's called the ENR, or estimated nitrogen release in a given soil, and that depends on the organic matter present. So, yes, nitrogen is a very important element, but the overuse of it creates nutrient imbalance within the soil, which transfers to the plant. So we have to understand what the available nitrogen is, and through discussion with a grower, I can kind of coach him on what kind of things is he seeing in the plant. And if he's got, this is another really, really important, wonderful thing, Doctor, that there are 30-some different free-form nitrogen-fixing bacteria that take the nitrogen from the atmosphere, which is 78% of what we breathe, and they fix it at the rhizosphere-rhizoplane area of the roots. Okay, so if we are doing proper microbe feeding, then the need for added nitrogen is greatly diminished. Just incredibly diminished.
All right, fine. So, and then what certainly you suggest adding certain specific chemicals. Is there a regular formula, or do you have to be very selective what you actually add?
Yes, you have to. Otherwise, you're going to create another nutrient imbalance. So then you haven't gained anything, really. It's really important to have an accurate soil analysis done. The ones you get from the university cost you nothing or near nothing, and that's exactly what you're getting when they make their recommendations. Like, I've been a year on Hawaii helping the coffee farmers and the fruit producers, the tropical fruit producers over there. University has led the farmers so astray. Their soils are a wreck. So, you know, you have to have an accurate soil analysis, and Neil Kinsey comes up with the best one that I've run across so far.
Well, now, you were actually brought over there by the farmers. Did you go over by yourself, or what happened?
A woman who is a key person in the Kona Farm Bureau donated her air miles to get me over there because she said, Gene, we're only producing 10% of what we eat. We're bringing in 90% of the food that we eat. And we can grow, she says, I believe that we could grow 365 days out of the year over here. Why can't we? Would you come over and help us understand that? So I did.
Well, now, do they compensate you for coming or do this
on
your own?
No. I worked for different situations over there to make a few dollars to buy a little bit of food, and it was a non-profit deal. But they want me to come back real bad. I said, put the money on the table, and I will be back because my heart is to help the people of Hawaii grow their own food.
Well, are they actually improving, certainly with your advice over there?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Is there a good book or a good source of information where the average individual who knows very little about farming could learn what you've learned through the years? Have you written something out? Do you have a syllabus or something?
One of my primary soil references is the book that Neil Kinsey has written, and I don't have it in front of me, Dr. Stan. If somebody wanted to call me, I could, you know, give them the name of that book. But it's an excellent book that Neil knew Dr. William Albrecht many years ago when he was studying to be an agronomist. And Dr. Albrecht was on the cutting edge of soil management practices at that time, and when it was greatly shunned by the academic community, unfortunately, but Neil has pursued it, and he works all over the world improving crop density. Like he told me, a grower from Argentina called him the other day, and he said, you know, Neil, I got a problem with your program. And Neil said, oh, what's going on? The farmer said, I have to resize my boxes. This man grows 4,000 acres of South American, Central American yam. He said, I have to resize my boxes because my customers are telling me that they're only getting 3/4 of a box full now. And I said, you know, praise the Lord. That means you have achieved greater nutrient density. So, you know, that's what Neil's recommendations will give to a grower, greater nutrient density. And that's my passion is...
Well, of course, but it sounds like that the vegetables are smaller than they were then.
Well, let's say this. Not necessarily, no. If you have good nutrient density, they won't be smaller, but per cubic inch or per cubic foot, they're going to weigh more because the density is up.
All right, fine. Now, what about the Green Revolution? Remember, 20, 30 years ago, they came up with a Green Revolution that was going to allow people in other countries to grow more food and prevent world hunger. Was this good or was that bad?
Well, its intent was good, but it's been taken, in my opinion, it's been taken into a bad arena because it's producing massive amounts of extremely nutrient-deficient food. And Dr. Parr... Dr. Parr, he's a good friend of mine. Dr. Stan, tell me what your opinion is of how the disease or the malady percentage in the human race is caused by malnutrition?
Well, I really can't. I'm not in a position to tell you. You tell me.
Well, I've heard 50% of the population is suffering from malnutrition. I think it's far greater than that. When I look at every year many different crops of my growers, and they're all extremely nutrient deficient, then I know that those crops are going into a human stomach. So in my opinion, there's a very high percentage of the planet that is suffering from malnutrition but don't realize it.
All right, well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, what Neil is basically, what Gene is basically saying is that you need two components. You need an organic component, you need a bacterial component, and then you need the mineral component.
Yes.
In your soil. Well, let's go to Ruby. Ruby, do you have a question or comment?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is just absolutely fascinating, what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
I was a little bit disturbed by the discussion on compost.
Yes.
And the fact that you have to use leftovers, you might say, that have no pesticides on them. Well, I know a lot of people who do their own composting, and I mean a lot of people, and they just use whatever they've got, and I mean, the leaves, everything has some sort of pesticide or herbicide or, you know, something on it. And is there any possibility that when you're doing the composting, is there any way possible to leach that poison out of it?
No, the best defense that you have is if there is a high population of beneficial microorganisms, including beneficial fungi, they're great at what I call doing bioremediation.
Uh-huh.
They can render a lot of these things non-toxic, but I don't know for a fact that they will detoxify everything that man has created, you know, all the poisons. But I know that they're significant in doing bioremediation. But another really, really important thing to remember is that if those... when food has a lot of fungicide and insecticide on it, it's because the soils that they were grown in had extreme nutrient deficiencies. Mm-hmm. So we can look at our compost and think, this is really a beautiful thing. But when you think about the fact that it came out of a field that had severe nutrient deficiencies, then we're transferring those same nutrient deficiencies to our garden. So it's really, really important to understand where our inherent nutrient level is within our garden, and it's really not affordable in a way to have an analysis done on your compost, even though that's what I recommend. But for a small garden area, that people don't want to spend the $40-$41 to get that done. Okay, my cost is $35, but then it's going to be $5-$6 for shipping. But it's really important to understand that the way food is grown today is on nutrient-deficient soils, and the way they get it into our belly, the way they keep it alive long enough to get it into our belly is by spraying with fungicide and insecticide. So you just can't stress enough the importance of understanding the inherent nutrient balance of your soil that you're trying to grow your food in. Yes, adding good compost will enhance microbial activity, which is extremely important. If you could only do one thing, it would be to build your microbial presence.
Okay, anything else, Ruby?
Only just that I've heard that, you know, ladybugs work really well as far as eating aphids and everything.
Yes.
I mean, is that even feasible for most of the farmers to use?
Not typically, because there's... Are you talking about conventional farmers or organic farmers?
Organic farmers, conventional farmers aren't
going to
use it.
Yeah, it would be, I would think that, I've helped growers do it. I know, you know, I've turned them on to sources for a lot of ladybugs, and it's made a huge difference for them.
All right, very good. Thanks very much, Ruby.
Okay,
and let's go to Barbara,
you.
Who's calling on from Soquel, California. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And if we need to know where to get the ladybugs, why, we can always get hold of Gene. But Barbara, did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, and first of all, I would just appreciate the information regarding growing your own food. It's in the composting.
Yes.
But I was wondering about the organically grown foods. How do we know that they are not grown next to a regular farming area that is using pesticides, and we're getting the drift of this? Is there any way or...
No, unfortunately, Barbara, there is not a way to know, because the newer regulations say that if you have a 100-foot barrier, then you can be certified organic. This is what I'm told by the organic arena. Well, when you know that a pesticide or a fungicide can drift for miles, then it's a pretty safe bet that you could be getting a drift. If the field that you're buying your produce out of is 100 or 200 feet away from conventionally grown or conventionally operated field, you could have a drift. But, you know, you could push your growers, your supplier, to say, you know, tell the conventional people to use the appropriate hoods on their spray booms that greatly diminish drift potential.
But trying to get them to do that is going to be another thing. When we go to the market, there's nothing we can do about it. So
right.
What you're basically saying is, of course, when we buy organic food, why, you pay your money and you take your chances. Would that
yes.
be a fair assessment?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
anything else?
Probably what you're doing is, if you're buying organic, you're not having it directly sprayed onto it.
Sure.
When you're getting drift, you're still getting less.
Exactly.
But it's just, you know, not absolutely as pure as you would
it's
like.
It's not 100%, no.
And you need, more or less, need to know the area from which you're buying your food.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to grow local, to buy local, and to work with the farmers that you're buying from.
Anything else, Barbara?
No, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling, and let's go to Nick calling from Carmel. Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
Good, Stan. How are you tonight?
Doing fine.
I got a question for you, guest. Wood ashes, the subject of wood ashes, does that really add that many minerals to the soil?
Yes, it does. You think about it, Nick, and that tree that the wood ashes have come from has spent many, many years in a given soil taking up the nutrients that its root system could gather. Now that you've burned it, you've concentrated all of those nutrients into the ash. So if you have got good microbial presence, which is brought about by a lot of active carbon or compost materials, then the microbes, through their organic acid production, is going to solubilize those little particles of ash and release the nutrients stored in that ash to the crop you're trying to grow. But you got to have good microbial presence to make that happen.
Okay.
So if you have the good microbes and the ash, that's basically pretty much all you need then?
Not necessarily. It all depends on the reproductive demands of your crop and the inherent nutrient levels of your soil.
But basically you've mixed in the ash with the compost. Would that
yeah.
be right?
Yeah.
Okay, there. Does
Thank
that
you.
Answer your question, Nick?
Yeah, thanks so much.
God
yeah.
bless, and thanks very much. And let's go to Dave, who's calling from Santa Cruz. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I want you to know I'm learning some things tonight I never thought of. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
No complaints. You have a question for our guest.
Yeah, I was wondering for like a good organic cure for powdery mildew.
Number one, mildew is a symptom. It's not a problem. Okay. So I realize you're at a crisis point where you think you need to get rid of the
no,
mildew.
No, it's like a small reoccurring problem.
You say it is?
Taking over. Yeah, it's reoccurring, yeah.
Okay. Okay, what stage of development is your crop in?
It's in the flowering phase.
Okay, so it's headed into reproduction. That's when the nutrient mm-hmm. demand is going to go really, really high, and it could be because you have a potassium. It could be. You may have a potassium deficiency. Okay, so that's
okay.
when the mildew typically will manifest, because the root system can't gather from the soil what reproduction is asking for. So then the cleanup organism...
I'm using organic molasses for my potassium, mostly.
Okay. Well, maybe it's not enough, Nick. You know, did you have a soil analysis done on your soil?
I use Happy Frog.
Pardon?
I use Happy Frog, and it's by Fox Farm.
Huh. I'm not familiar with that.
Well, okay, Sydney, could you, what about Miracle-Gro, these things that are put out? Does that really work, you know?
No. No. Uh-uh. I wouldn't go there.
All right, well, what's wrong with that? Is that just a nitrogen product or what?
Typically, it's high in nitrogen or very, very, very available nitrogen forms. And I don't like the potassium form that's in there. So there's way better choices.
Well, could you actually just take some something and just sprinkle it on the ground around the plant and then water it in? Would that get the nutrients down?
Yes, but I would choose a different form than Miracle-Gro.
All right, fine. What would you suggest?
Yeah, there are some really high quality ones made.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
You bet.
All right. What were the high quality products you were talking about?
I access one that's made right here locally.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake. But a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD. And purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
If you're in a position to help us, we'd appreciate hearing from you. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters as we try to reach out on 60 various outlets all across America during this every week, trying to bring people an understanding of the fact that there really is an invisible government, there really are corrupt and wicked and evil people that are damaging our health. And, of course, whether it's the attack on the food supply, whether it's what they're doing as far as the water we're drinking, putting fluoride or In most instances, hydrofluorosalicylic acid or salicylic acid that contains cadmium and polonium-220 and arsenic and fluoride. And why would they put that into our water supply? Well, that's a story by itself. But so many of the medications we're taking, the cell phones that we're utilizing, and they do, with excessive use, produce damage. The new diseases they've created, ladies and gentlemen, terrible things are going on in the world today, and you better understand this so you can protect your family. And if you haven't heard my talk on planned population reduction or read my treatise on the population control agenda, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We have a talk called None Dare Call It Genocide. Our latest talk is called The Specter Haunting America. It's a DVD. It's got the information that you need to know to protect your family. We have an excellent DVD called Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda. And if you get that, it's a talk by Dr. David Ayoub. There's a CD-ROM you get for nothing with literally thousands of pages of scientific studies that show that the government does know that they're poisoning our children. And then, of course, Dr. Blaylock's excellent DVD, Vaccines and Brain Development. You need to get all of this information. You need to get it to others. Basically, we're making an impact. More and more people are beginning to question what they're being told by the medical establishment. Oh, you have to get your child vaccinated. H1N1 disease. Your children are going to die. Your pregnant women are going to die if they don't take the vaccines. Ladies and gentlemen, the H1N1 epidemic was the greatest fraud of all time. In fact, over in Europe at the European Parliament is going to investigate the World Health Organization for declaring a pandemic, because if you look and see the figures of the actual death rate, of the death rate in the United States as of December of last year was 0.8 per 100,000. 0.8 of one person per 100,000. Probably one person out of every 120,000 died. And certainly two-thirds of those had other serious illnesses. In fact, if you've read my newsletters, you will point out that the chance of dying of H1N1 was about, you had three times as much chance of getting struck by lightning as you did, of course, dying of H1N1 infection if you were healthy. And, of course, two-thirds of the people who died were not healthy. So understand what the greatest scam of all time. The H1N1 epidemic, it was very, very profitable. But, of course, it did not save a significant number of human lives, the vaccine. And it did irreparable harm to the women who took it, because it increases the incidence of autism and, of course, of schizophrenia in their children. And they know when you vaccinate a pregnant woman, you increase their incidence of schizophrenia and autism in their offspring. And, of course, by giving the children, infants 6 months of age, two shots of H1N1 and two shots of the regular the seasonal flu vaccine, they knew they were going to get 50 times the maximum amount of mercury, and it will do irreparable damage because that mercury can get into the minds. And for many of the children, many of the children can handle it, but many of the children will not. And we can look for an epidemic of neurodevelopmental abnormalities in the years that lie ahead. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty.